Do you want more? We will never have revolution if we hold on to less. The church today believes less is more. Less serving, less giving, less praying means more. No.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome back to Love Never Fails. We're delighted to have you with us once again. Today, in the second part of our study on Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to discover why Jesus is that perfect champion for us. We'll explore the profound truth that our Savior became fully human, sharing in our very flesh and blood, so he could face death head on and destroy the power of the devil. Now, Pastor Bill, with part two of the message, Why Jesus Became Man.
And then he goes on and he says in verse 13, he's going to quote now Isaiah 8:17 and Isaiah 8:18. Watch this. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am. And the children, here I am, meaning Jesus, here I am, Lord. And the children whom what? God has given me. Can you believe we're going to be singing with Jesus? Can you believe right here, believers, listen, amen, believers are, we are God's gift to Jesus. Look what it says, whom God has given me. What did Jesus say in John 6:39? He said, oh, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he's given me. Hey, I'm not going to lose one thing. I'm not going to lose nothing. Listen, can you see it? The captain of our salvation. He's leading, bringing many sons to glory. That's you. That's me. We're on our way. This is not our home. Amen? Now, oh, and I look and I say, oh, God, listen, you're right there, Jesus. You're going to be in the midst of your children. Yeah. And you know what? We're going to be singing with him. That's exactly what it just said. Loved one, all the redeemed ones are going to be right there. Here we are. We're his church. We're his brethren. We're his children. We share his nature. He is the captain of our salvation. Verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, watch this, he himself, Jesus, he himself likewise shared, that literally means took part willingly. He shared willingly in the same. John 1:14, the word became flesh, amen? Now, dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. Now watch this, that through death, or literally through his death, look what he's going to do. He might destroy, that means to render inoperative, null, void. He might destroy him who had, I love that, that's past tense, who had the power of death, and that is who? The devil. The fourth reason that Jesus willingly became man because of Adam when he blew it, loved one, was this, that through his death, death died. Amen. I say, oh God, you're so good. He came into this world, became one of us without sin, to die for our sin. And by dying, look here again, he destroyed the great enemy of God, the great enemy of man, the wicked one, the devil, the father of every lie, the one who lives in death and darkness. That belongs to the devil's realm. Amen. Now listen, the devil, it says he had the power of death. He does not and never has had the power of eternal death. Do you understand? He doesn't have that. No, Matthew's gospel, I forget where it's at, someplace, chapter 10, I think. Remember what it says? Jesus, don't worry about who can kill the body, you know? No, but worry about him who cast the body and soul into hell. Yes. Fear him. Don't fear the devil, loved one. No, listen. Jesus, Colossians 2:15, when Jesus died on the cross, he disarmed all the principalities of darkness. He disarmed the devil. He is disarmed. He's also defeated, and he fights from the point of defeat, never from the point of victory. We always fight from the point of victory. Amen? Yes. And I say, oh God, you're so good. In 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, meaning became the Son of Man. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. Did you know the devil has works? Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but for one reason, to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now listen to me now, but I have come that you might have life and have life. What's the next word? Say it again. More abundantly. From less to more. Are you getting this? And I'm going, oh, Jesus, you're so good. In other words, you were made for more. Do you understand that? We were created for more, more life. Jesus said, I want you to have life more abundantly. That means your destiny. It means the adventure of following Jesus. Jesus wants us to have more. You know, we're wasting so much more than we... Do you understand? Oh, I'm telling you. I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, help me with this. You know, the devil, aren't you glad he's completely removed? I mean, he, like I just said, he's powerless really when it comes to death. And you know what? He's not destroyed. He's still alive. But guess where he's going to end up? We're going to see it. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever and ever and ever. And the fifth reason that Jesus became man, look at verse 15, the fifth reason, and release, that word literally is a picture of a person who is a slave and you're taking off his chains, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, they were in the state of slavery all of their lives to him who had that power of death. Now listen to me. The fear of death, loved one, it's a universal experience, okay? We have all of us have feared death at one time, haven't we? Come on. It's unknown, you know? But listen, the thing is, yes, it's a universal experience, but only the Bible, no other book tells the truth about what death really is. No one, there's no other book. Without words, did you know that no one can understand what death is? There's no way. Without God's word. Matter of fact, you can't even understand why all men die if you don't have the Bible. Amen? Yeah. The fear of death, it's natural to those who are outside of Christ, but we are not outside of Christ. Amen? No. We need never fear what Jesus has conquered, and we had never fear what Jesus tasted for us. Amen? He tasted death for us. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:10, it tells us about Jesus when he came. It says, who has, that's past tense, abolished death. What a word. He has abolished death. That word means to make useless, null, void, inoperative, powerless, but certainly non-existent, okay? Death is still here, isn't it? Death is the last enemy that's going to be destroyed, loved one. But listen, he says he's abolished death, and listen carefully, and brought life, that's what Jesus did, and immortality to light through the gospel. Now listen, all that is dark about death is now light to the Christian. Do you understand? We're not in the dark anymore. We understand the Son of God became the Son of Man. He died. He rose from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. That changed the world. Amen? Oh, listen, for the Christian, eternal death, think about it, no longer exists. No, separation from God no longer exists at all. It's all been done away with. Death can never touch you. The Bible says in Romans 8:38, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor any created thing, he goes on and on, can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What happens when a believer dies? Do you taste death? No. Jesus already tasted it for you. Do you understand? You're not going to go, I'm dying, I can taste. No, you can't taste it. You're not going to experience whatever death is. How do I know that? The Bible tells me. 2 Corinthians 5:8. It says this. What does it say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Man, that's what you call instant departure, instant arrival. Amen? You're home forever. Death doesn't touch you. Oh, the old body, but you're going to get a new body. No. Revelation 1:18, who holds the keys to hell and death? Jesus. He has them. You think the devil can take those back? No, there's no way. Listen, we win. You know what death is? Listen, death, loved one, to the believer, is only a messenger from God. Death is only a messenger from God our Father saying, Bill, time to come home, and you will be with me forever and ever and ever and ever. You understand? That's what the Word of God teaches. And then in verse 16, it says, for indeed, well, he does not give aid to angels. In other words, he didn't have the nature of angels. He doesn't help angels. He didn't come to redeem angels. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham, meaning those who, the believers, us. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, except without sin, all right? He had to be made like his brethren, that's us, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest. That's the first mention now in Hebrews. That in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. The sixth reason why Jesus became man, we need desperately a merciful and faithful high priest that we can go to who represents us before God. Amen? He also intercedes for us. Oh, listen, Jesus left heaven. He became man. He lived as man. He shared in all the good, the bad, the ugly, all the experiences of man. Jesus became less to give you more. If you don't believe me, read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, how he left heaven. And he took the form of a bondservant. That means a slave. He took the lowest place. The King of glory took the lowest place on the ladder of life, if you will. And then when you get to the end, it was all, in the beginning it was less. In the end, boy, every name, you're going to confess it. Every knee's going to bow. Amen? No. Jesus became less to give you more, and he understands us. He's merciful. I mean, he sympathizes. He knows what we're going through. He understands us perfectly because he lived as man. So the seventh thing he did, the reason that he became man, was to make propitiation for the sins of his people. The Bible says in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. We don't want to sin. Amen? But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If anyone sins, doesn't mean that you have lost relationship with God or sonship or daughtership. It means you've lost out on fellowship. Amen? Okay. We have this advocate, one who speaks in our defense. He is sinless. He is perfect. He never loses a case. Amen? He's our attorney, if you will. Why? He paid for our sins. Now listen, 1 John 2:2, and he himself, meaning Jesus, is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Propitiation or atonement. One who suffered for us. One who took the wrath of God for us. God punished himself. Do you understand? God punished him who knew no sin. Jesus, God punished his own son for you, for me. Our sin is paid for. 1 John 4:10, though this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. Jesus is our mercy seat. Did you know that? What was the mercy seat? Remember, that was where God met man. And that's where he is representing us today. Look at verse 18 now. For in that, meaning that he became like us, flesh without sin, he himself has what? He suffered. How? Well, being tempted or tested for us, okay? Tested in every way. Now watch this. He is able. Boy, God is able to do anything. Amen? He is able to aid those who are tempted. Let me ask you a question. Let's just look at the Jewish Christians. Were they being tempted to go back into Judaism? Oh, man, you know this. Help them right here, loved one. Listen, so the eighth reason why Jesus became man was to provide help in this life, to come to our aid. It says Jesus is able to aid. That literally means to run to the cry of a child, and we are his children. It means to bring help when it's needed. Listen to me now. So many people think that Jesus doesn't, I don't know. He doesn't know what I'm really going through. Listen, Jesus knows every dark minute in your life. He knows every test, every temptation you face. He faces it with you because he's already faced it. He's already faced it. Listen, not because he is God, but because he became one of us, yet without sin. He lived as man. He ate. He was hungry. He wept. Amen? He lived just, if Jesus was here, if we were back there and saw Jesus, he'd look like one of us. Do you understand? You pass him by, you say, I don't know. No. Love, he was one of us, and he defeated the devil as man. Matthew 4:4. Remember what he told the devil? He looked him in the face, said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Amen. Oh, and I go, "Oh Lord, listen to me now. Do you need sympathy? Do you need help?" There's only in Christ do we find perfect sympathy. Let me give you the scripture. Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize," that word means to feel with us or suffer with us. "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, our trials, our temptations, but was in all points tempted, tested, just like we were, yet without sin." Listen, you think our great high priest is cold or unfeeling? No, no. Oh man, listen, he feels your weakness. He knows your weakness. 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all of your care, your hurt, your anxiety on him. He cares for you." Now listen carefully. Nothing, I mean, love, nothing in human experience is foreign to Jesus. Nothing. I mean, listen, sin is the only human experience that's foreign to our Lord. He didn't have any part of that. Listen, Jesus knows why you give up. Jesus knows why you choose to lie rather than tell the truth. But he never lied. But he knows why we lie. He knows why we cave in, why we want to quit. He knows all of it. Why? Because he experienced every temptation to the max in his life, and yet without sin. And I know some of you are maybe listening live or in here in the chapel, you're going, "Well, you know," you're thinking, "Hey, Bill, that's right, but you remember Jesus was God and he was sinless. How in the world could he be sinless know what I'm going through?" It's because he didn't sin. It's because he didn't sin that he knows what you're going through. What do you mean? See, Jesus' entire life, was it a test? From the moment he was born to the moment he died on the cross, it was a test. Oh, listen, he endured, loved one. Only one who has not yielded to temptation, not yielded to it, but felt the full intensity of it. Boy, he's the one who knows how you really feel. No one of us have ever done that. He took it all. That is why Jesus became man. Listen to me now, John 10:10. "Jesus, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly." God created you for more. God saved you for more. More adventure with Jesus. Do you understand? That's what it's all about. And listen to me now. I say this with so much love. Why is it there are so many hurting Christians? And why are there so many hurting Christian families? Jesus wants us to have him more, not less. Are you listening to me? Jesus wants us to have him more, not less. Man, why is it that the church is so willing to turn today to everything and anything for help? Why do we turn to less when we have more? Do you understand? I'm going, "Oh Lord, help me now." Listen, we have the throne of grace. Jesus says, "I am more. I am more than anything you could ever imagine." Amen. Jesus is our more. He says in 4th chapter, the 16th verse, he says, an invitation. "Let us come boldly." Can you believe that God says that? Come boldly. Come with that confidence. Don't be afraid. You come boldly to the throne of grace. There's not one charge leveled against you. Your sin's been paid. He says, you come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That you may obtain mercy. Mercy. You can obtain it. And find what? Grace. God's unmerited favor. When? To help in time of need. Why? Jesus is there. Now, I want you to listen to me now. Calvary, this church, we were created for more. Do you understand that? Not less. We were created for more. How about Peter the fisherman? Was he created for more? He threw his net down and Jesus said, "Follow me," and he followed him. Oh, do you think Peter said, "I wish I'd have stayed in the fishing business"? No, that's less. See, he calls us for more. When David was out in the field, the shepherd of the sheep, listen, is that what God wanted for David? No, he was going to be a mighty warrior, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was going to be the king. He was going, from him would come the Messiah. See, it was more. God has more. He wants more for you. And Do you want to walk in it? Do you want more? Listen to me. We will never have revolution if we hold on to less. We'll never. And that's what we're doing. We're holding on to less. The church today believes less is more. Less serving, less giving, less praying means more. No.
Not so.
Amen. Jesus said, give, it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over in your bosom. With the same measure your meat, it'll be measured back to you from less to more. Do you believe that? Is that really? Jesus said, what did he say in Mark 1:17? He said, you follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. From less to more. Jesus said in John 8:12, he says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, after me, will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. From less to more. Paul the apostle said in Romans 8:37, he said, for you, Christian, you are not just conquerors. You are what? More. Say it. More than conquerors. That's who you are right this minute. He takes you always from less to more, loved one. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, he says, if you then being evil know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit who ask them? Much more. Remember the woman there at the treasury? Jesus was watching her, said to the disciples, hey, look what's going on. Man, she put in that little penny. Jesus said, she has put in more than all the rest of them who have given. All the rich men, all the people. Said, no, she's put in more. They put in less. Are you with me? Oh, loved one, listen to me. 31 years ago in my living room, that little group of people this month stepped out of the house, walked into a church building. We had nothing. This was my pulpit. We didn't have heat in our building. We had $100 in the offering and I gave it. Nothing. And look what God has done. He has taken us from less to more. And he wants to take us to so much more. Listen to me. You were made for more. Why are we holding on to less? Every one of us should be on the adventure, serving and loving and excited about serving the Lord. Jesus became less so we could have more. Jesus said, I am more. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You are my brethren. I'm leading you to glory. He said, no one can come to heaven except by me. No one can come to the Father. Oh, listen, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why do lost people stay lost? Jesus said, he told us why. John 5:40, you are not willing to come to me that you might have life, real life, real life. Are you born again? Are you lost? I would hate to settle for less, meaning hell, for all eternity when you could have more. Heaven. Church, listen, we are in revolution. Please, we cannot settle for less. We can't settle for less. This year is so paramount in my life, in the life of this church, and the place of more that Jesus wants to take us. Let's go together. Let's go together in Jesus' name.
We encourage you this week to reflect on the incredible value God places on you, a value so high that he sent his Son to restore our destiny. Rest in the finished work of Christ, the one who secured our salvation and made a way for us to stand before a holy God. Join us next time as we continue our journey through the book of Hebrews and discover more of the richness of God's Word. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening with us today. And may the Lord bless you with a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.